Daddy down! Hut, 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 hut!
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
We love getting Jason Wilde on the show to give us the latest from 1265. Good morning, Jason. How are you today?
Well, I've got nothing that's the latest from 1265. They had the day off yesterday. It was great. Now back to the grind.
Yes, that is wonderful. And I heard that Wednesday was a pretty interesting day. Did Eric Stokes have a pretty good day out there?
Well, he had kind of an Eric Stokes day. He had two interceptions, but he also got beat on third and four by Romeo Doubs to pick up a first down, and he got a really egregious pass interference penalty. So, you know, kind of you take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have
back to life. Stokes's yep, there it is.
Eric Stokes. Jason, just, you know, before we get to even more things other than Jordan Love, Josh just brought up a good point that clearly this is more contentious than we've been led to believe, because if there wasn't any contentiousness, a deal would be done. So, A, do you agree with there's more contentiousness than we were led to believe? And B, who do you think is holding us up? Do you think Jordan's being unreasonable, or do you think the Packers have not come in with a fair market value deal?
It pains me to agree with Josh, so I will I won't use contentiousness. I'll say there is a greater difference of opinion than we were led to believe.
Will you take it, Josh?
I'm taking that as a win.
All right.
Yeah, I knew you would, buddy.
He's celebrating. He's dancing back there, Jason.
Now there would be a great digital-only opportunity. One of the things I hate doing is guessing. Right? I mean, and look, when I make educated guesses, you know, I've been really irritated by this because I was treated like I was some sort of Chicken Little for saying that this was a possibility for weeks leading into training camp, right? Like, I kept saying that, and I was being sent away with a pat on the head saying, oh, isn't this cute? Jason's bringing up a possibility. That there's no way. They're going to just make him the highest paid quarterback and everything will be great. I'm sure Diana Rossini corresponds with David Mulugeta. I'm sure Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport do, Tom Pelissero. I do not get texts back from him. I'm not a big enough fish, which I know comes as a surprise to you guys. So I would love for him to tell one of them that he does correspond with what exactly the holdup is. But if you're going to ask me to guess, it's going to be that Jordan Love believes, or Jordan Love's representation believes, that if you are paying based on what he is going to accomplish, not solely what he has accomplished, that he deserves more guaranteed money than what the Green Bay Packers, who are trying to hedge their bets just in case Jordan Love isn't as star-spangled awesome as he appeared to be last year during the second half of the season, that they can get out of it. And we've talked so many times on this show about some of the things that Goody has done, even for his anointed golden child of a quarterback. You bring it up all the time. You love it when I bring it up, the quote of, that's a lot of money to give a guy who hasn't played when they decided to not give him the fifth-year option. Now, we might be in the same situation today had they just given him the fifth-year option. There would have been seven games last season where we'd have been like, oh, my God, I can't believe they gave this guy the fifth-year option. But then they would have had an opportunity in December to sign him to an extension like they did with Rodgers after eight games in the 2008 season. But the bottom line is that they are where they are. The market has exploded in terms of cost. And my gut would tell me that the Packers' offer is not enough guaranteed money to get the deal done. I don't know when that changes. I don't know how that changes. Jen, correct me if I'm wrong, but Diana has changed her verbiage when she reports on this from a matter of weeks to they're getting closer. Is that right? Is that how she's changed her reporting?
I believe based on seeing Florio and Schefter and Diana all say it's close, that that is the line that Jordan Love's agency is taking. I don't know if there was some sort of conversation with the Packers that was like, hey, stop putting out spooky stuff to rile people up. And so now it feels like everybody is getting the same kind of party line of it's not done yet, but it's getting there. And I agree with you, Jason. I think it's guarantees. I think it's the guaranteed money. I don't know if it's, I still don't know if it's years, if it's a matter of, you know, are we talking a 4-year deal or a 6-year deal? Is 5 the magic number? I don't know that. But I believe guarantees and what the totality of the deal is, not just the average annual value. I don't know why every time that messes me up. I don't know why there's something about the AAV that my brain just is like, can't get it out. Anyway, that's what I have been led to believe.
Yeah, I prefer 8. That's easier for me, too. Look, let's say that the deal is 4 years, $224 million. If my math is correct, that would mean a $56 million a year average, and that would make him, based on APY, the highest paid quarterback in the league. Now, again, I don't know if the Packers are willing to do that or not, but that would placate any desire for them to claim, all right, he's the highest paid quarterback in the league. All right, we got our guy the highest. He's past Burrow. He's past Trevor Lawrence. His average is 56. To me, it all will come down to, does he have $180 million of that guaranteed or $140 million of that guaranteed? Like, again, it's so hard for me to have this conversation because our fans that listen to our shows, and quite frankly, those of us that do these shows, this money is such monopoly money to me when we talk about it. But that's the game we play. And $40 million when you're talking about $224 million, it's easy for your eyes to glaze over and say, well, you know, it's life-changing generational wealth money. What does it really matter? But it really does matter for these guys, and it should, because money is respect in the NFL, as Chewy can tell you.
Pivoting off of Jordan Love, but not straying too far away, Jason, the wide receiver battle and how things are going to shake out in terms of who's going to be out there, how many snaps, how many targets guys are going to get has been one of the storylines I think fans are most interested in heading into training camp. Has that been affected at all with not having Jordan Love out there? Instead, it's, you know, Sean Clifford making the passes to these guys as they're battling for playing time.
I don't know if it's affected that competition. I mean, you know, I think it's affecting it a little bit. Like, Jaden Reed is clearly going to be somewhere in their top 3 to 4, right? I mean, he led them in receptions. He led them in receiving yards last year. But, you know, he didn't practice the first 2 days. He practiced on Wednesday on a limited basis. He's not doing 11 on 11. You know, there have been plays. There was one, you know, I wrote about it in my story about Clifford today. You know, and look, I'm not here to be Sean Clifford's PR spin doctor, but I thought he made some really good points about how, you know, if you're watching practice, these are guys that he has not thrown to regularly. Like, he threw some to the rookies last year. I mean, Dontavian Wicks, Jaden Reed, you know, they weren't taking all first team reps right away. We know what they became during the course of the season. So he has some experience with them, but he said he'd never thrown to Romeo Doubs or Christian Watson in 11 on 11 before. Okay. And I thought he gave an outstanding example. And this is why I really like him as a player to talk to, and why I think it's really important for guys to help us understand what goes on out there. So we were talking about Eric Stokes earlier here. And Eric Stokes had an interception on a play in which Sean Clifford threw a slant behind, just a tit behind, but certainly behind Dontavian Wicks. The ball deflected off of Wicks' hands. Stokes intercepted it. And I saw LaFleur come over to Clifford afterward, and LaFleur was pissed. And he wasn't like, you know, Aaron Rodgers, throw your arms up pissed. But he was, you could tell he was talking to him in kind of a stern manner. And then Clifford went over and talked to Tom Clemens after that. So that 11-on-11 session ends. They have a couple of special teams periods. They have another 11-on-11 period. And a few plays later, in that, they're facing a 3rd-and-4. And Sean Clifford completes a pass to Romeo Doubs against Eric Stokes to pick up the first down. A play that Eric Stokes, by his own admission, was obsessing about because they beat him so badly with the play. And talking to Sean Clifford afterward, he explained that the play that he threw the interception on, LaFleur said, look, that's supposed to be a backside throw to Doubs. And then Doubs came over and talked him through, all right, here's what I'm going to do. Here's how this operates. Here's how this play works. Because he had never thrown that route and run that play before. Ever last year, ever through the first two practices before that. And so they run the exact same play. They pick up the first down against Stokes. So my point is that Jordan Love has done all this. He's not as experienced as Aaron Rodgers was, but this is a process for Sean Clifford to be productive and effective with guys that he's unfamiliar with. That was a step forward. So while he has thrown like 5 picks in the last two practices, I don't think it's as catastrophic for the folks that are like, oh my God, they got to get Love back. This guy sucks. I think it's an adjustment period for him. I think he is improving. I still would say you don't want him starting in Brazil, but these are the things that you find out when you spend some time talking to guys.
Jason, good stuff. We appreciate you. We'll talk to you again soon. Have a great weekend.
Sounds great. You guys take care. Be good.
All right. He's Jason Wilde. You can hear him on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every weekday right here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. We have Craig Karmazin coming up. I'm sure he has many thoughts on the dynamic between the front office and Jordan Love. We will get those right after this.
Change the way you do business. Take control, or take more control of the payment process with Fifth Third Bank's Treasury Management Solutions. Their market expertise and managed services streamline the entire payment process and integrate with your existing systems, giving you more control than ever. With their suite of payment solutions, you will soon recognize new revenue sources that can save time, offset operating costs, and improve the bottom line, all customized for you and your business. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.